And good morning, everybody. Good Thursday morning. Day 18. 21 days of growth. Hopefully you are continuing to see progress in your personal life and in your personal relationship. Good morning, everybody hopping on. Good morning, Brother D. Mary Sue. Are you good Missouri folks down that way? All of y'all that remember me from when I was a kid, so if I need them, I need our church to know the details of my sordid childhood, I'll tell them myself. But thank y'all so much for joining. Good morning. Hopefully you're warm. I know it's cold out there this morning. I got up and stepped outside, let the dogs out a little bit earlier, and I'm with the dogs. I was ready to get back in. I was ready to get back inside. It is a cold day out there today, but we are here and we're delighted to be here. Before I get started today, I want to bring something, a very special need to you and to our audience. Got word yesterday that a really, really close friend of mine, Pastor Brennan Ayers, I'd met Brennan, roughly around 2007 and 2008, somewhere in that neighborhood. My wife and I had just moved to West Plains, Missouri, and were pastoring there and were introduced by a friend of ours, the Van Essler family, to a pastor there in town. Pastor Brennan Ayers, and at the time was pastoring Victory Family Worship Center there in West Plains. And we struck up a really, really good conversation, really good friendship. And it's just lasted through the years, though he and I both have long since moved from West Plains onto different stations in our lives. We have remained in contact. But yesterday we received word that Brennan is in need of an absolute miracle. He was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer and is in the hospital in Little Rock and just needs a miracle. And so I'm going to ask you to join with me today in prayer for Brennan and Karen Ayers and for their family. He pastors a church there in Jacksonville, Arkansas now, Jacksonville Assembly. And so we want to pray for him and for his health, for his wife, for his family, and also for that church family. And so if you wouldn't mind just joining with me today in a moment of prayer on his behalf, and we're going to do that right now. I'm not just asking you to join me through the day. I'm asking you to join me immediately. And if there's any sick among you, let them pray. Let them call for the elders. And I know I'm not quoting, well, I guess I am, but all joking aside, I want us to pray for Brennan this morning that God would minister strength and healing and raise him up from that bed of affliction. Heavenly Father, I love you today. God, I know that you are my healer. I know that you are our provider. And I thank you, God, that you have given us a divine solution, Lord, to all of life's struggles and all of life's weaknesses and sicknesses and despair. And that solution is you. And I'm asking you right now, God, we're going to pray and we're asking you to go to where we can't go. We're asking you, Lord, to be what we can't be. I'm asking you right now, God, to go and minister healing to Brennan. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring strength and life to his body right now. God, to raise him up from this bed of affliction, that your name would be praised, that the miracle that would proceed from this place, God, from this moment, from this season of life, I pray, God, that this miracle would go forth and show forth your goodness and your glory in his life. And we thank you for it, God. We know that your stripes were not borne in vain, but they were for our healing. And I'm asking you right now, Lord, to go minister strength and healing to my friend. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I am a little bit under the weather. Some of you probably are noticing the little bit of hoarseness or rasp in my voice. It is a common thing for me this time of year anymore. But I am going to endeavor. I've only got today and three more days of this, and then I am going to get a break. But I am looking forward to this morning, but I couldn't start today without praying for Brennan. I couldn't start today without spending a little bit of time and just asking you to join with me. I know there are all kind of, there are people all over the nation, all around the world that are praying for Brennan right now. And I know his family is, I know he and his family are both thankful for that. So I want to thank you for praying with me and just continue to pray for him today throughout your day, that God would continue and strengthen him, as I know he will. But today we're going to get started, and we've started this series, I guess you could say, this season of learning, this season of growth, with a phrase of closing the gap, that we are endeavoring to close the gap between us and God. That we're endeavoring to close the gap in our relationship, the relationship between the Creator and the created. That our goal has been, in everything that we say and everything that we do in this setting, in this arena, in this medium, has been intentional in its effort to equip you and I with the ability, the knowledge, and the tools, I guess you could say, of what it takes to close the gap between us and God. What does it require? What is required of you and I to close that gap? Well, we obviously know that prayer is part of that process. Through these teachings, we obviously know that prayer and fasting is all a part of this process. But what about those that are in need of someone to stand in the gap for them? What about those that are needed, that need someone to mind the gap for them? In this case that I brought to you, this case of Pastor Brennan needing someone to stand in the gap for him. I spoke with a gentleman here recently in my work, and he was very thankful. He was being very gracious and kind toward me because of the help that I had offered to him. And I made this statement to him, you know, as that when he was just being so kind and gracious, he said, "Thank you so very much for all your help, for all you did, going out of your way," all of those kind words. And I just simply told him, I said, "Sir, if I'm being completely honest," I said, it really is my nature. It's nothing extra. I said, "However, I just know that if this were my parent, this was my dad on the phone, or my grandpa, or my mother, or my grandma on the other end of this line, I would want somebody to do exactly what I'm doing for you, for them." We all need someone to stand in the gap for us. We need someone to be our advocate, if it were. But the word gap, and we look at that this morning, the word gap is defined as a breach or a break, a span or a barrier. It's a separation. It's that space. It's in London, there is the what they call the tube, right? And as you're getting on the tube, you're getting on that train. It's called a train here. As you're getting on the train in the underground there in London, there's a line there that you read as you're stepping over that says, "Mind the gap." And so in London, this gap refers to the space between the edge of the platform and the train itself. And if a person's foot gets caught in the gap, it could obviously mean certain death. If you and I get caught in the gap between our lives and our Savior. It could mean an eternal damnation. It could. But if someone else gets caught in that gap, if someone else is stuck and they don't have anybody to stand in the gap for them, to assist them through that gap, to take and hold their hand. Because in a sense, in a higher, more spiritual sense, there is a gap of extreme importance. It's this gap between us and our God. It's the gap between me and my Savior. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, knowing that we needed someone to stand in the gap, knowing that we needed someone to be that go-between, He came, He robed Himself in flesh and dwelt among us, and He became the mediator. He became the ultimate stand-in-the-gap guy and stood in the gap for you and I. So in like fashion, it behooves you and I both to be as Christ-like as we have ever been and to find someone, to look for someone that needs someone else to stand in the gap for them and us be that person. And if we're defining it in terms of prayer, we would define it as someone who is an intercessor. Minding the gap is a form of intercession. So minding the gap is somewhat akin to the role of the high priest in the Old Testament. He acted as the go-between. The writer of Hebrews tells us that each and every high priest was appointed to offer sacrifices for sin. Aaron, who was the first high priest, modeled this. In Numbers 16 and 48, it says that he stood between the dead and the living. On one occasion, he stood with a torch between God's people and a plague spreading through the camp, and it was killing thousands. He stood in the gap. And so through Aaron's courage, we see God's mercy being extended and the plague was stopped because Aaron decided that somebody had to mind the gap. I don't know, maybe it's you. Maybe you are the person that needs someone to mind the gap today. Maybe you're in a season right now that you need someone to just pray for you. I was reminded this morning as I was getting ready a couple of songs. Y'all know me and the old songs that cross my mind. I don't know all the lyrics every time. I just know bits and pieces of songs. I know bits and pieces of songs like a lot of people know bits and pieces of movie lines. And I know bits and pieces of songs like I know a lot of bits and pieces of scripture. But two songs in particular crossed my mind this morning as getting ready for today. The first one was a song that Tommy and Pam Shirley used to sing and win. And my wife is going to know exactly which song I'm talking. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They got down on their knees and they prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out. And I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Then some years later, a friend of mine, Corey and Gina McCool, recorded a song, and it was that somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me and direct me in through things that I can't see. I believe that someone is praying for me. I don't know. Maybe it's you today. Maybe you're the one that needs somebody to pray for you. Or maybe it is that God has laid somebody on your heart this morning. And you need to stop what you're doing. You need to pause, put everything on hold. If you've got to let the coffee get cold on the counter, then let the coffee get cold on the counter. But if you woke up this morning, or any morning for that matter, and you're moving throughout your day, and you're trying to you feel the presence of God, and you feel this urging in your spirit, and you don't know exactly what's going on, it's God. It could be that the Lord is laying someone on your heart that you would pray for them. So, for the love of God and all things righteous and holy, do yourself and them a favor and just go ahead and stop and spend time and pray for them. And I use this because it's current. I use it simply because it's current. But I noticed over the past few days, I think it was just a few days ago, that my mom, I think it was maybe on the 13th, can't remember, Mom, you can correct me if I'm wrong. See, I still let my mom correct me. I'm even 45 years old and my mother still, I give her the, she can still correct. I think it was on the 13th that she made a social media post on Facebook about, what can I pray with you about? Put your prayer request in here. And I've looked and I've read through those comments occasionally, and I see names of people that I haven't seen in ages that are saying, I need prayer. Pray for this and pray for that. Ladies, listen, there is never an absence of things to pray for. Never. There's never a day where there's not somebody or something that needs you to pray for them. There's always somebody that you can mind the gap for. It's called intercession. We find numerous instances of intercession in Scripture. Abraham stopped and stood up for the souls of Sodom and Gomorrah. Had it not been for his prayers, Lot and his family would have perished in Genesis 18. You remember the account. Abraham said, Lord, if you'll spare this many people, then I'll be, if you'll spare this many, and back and forth it went. Abraham standing in the gap. Moses, we referenced a couple of days ago, stood in the gap for Israel, pleading with God to spare them in Exodus 32. Matter of fact, Moses made a pretty bold statement in that moment. He said, if you're going to blot them out of the book, then just go ahead and scratch my name as well. I wouldn't advise giving God an ultimatum. But that, in essence, is what he did. That is what he was doing. He was giving an ultimatum. He said, you know, God, if you're going to blot them out, then just go ahead and blot me out. The city of Jerusalem was searched for those who sighed and cried unto God so people could be spared. It wasn't just in the case of Abraham and Moses, it was an individual. But in this case, the city of Jerusalem was searched. Ezekiel 9 says that the city of Jerusalem was searched for those who sighed and cried unto God so people could be spared. He was looking for someone to stand in the gap. He was searching for gap dwellers, I guess you could say. Gap minders, maybe not dwellers. Maybe just those who mind the gap. We don't want to stay there. We just want to be aware of it. We want to be aware of ours, and we want to be aware of others. Then it was the church, the Apostle Peter, in a jail cell, in prison, chains fall off of his hands. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the chains fell off of his hands, and he walked outside of the gate. The gates opened of the prison. He walked out to the outer courts, and the gates opened, and he goes out into the street, and he said that it was an angel leading him, and he's, I thought I saw a vision. Surely I must be dreaming. But the Bible says in Acts 12 that there was prayer made by the church without ceasing. But prayer was made by the church. Can it be said of the modern day church? Can it be said of Calvary Tabernacle that prayer was made by the church? Can it be said of you and I that prayer was made by Brandon? Can it be said that prayer was made by Susan Jackson? Can it be said that prayer was made by Todd Dugal? Can it be said that prayer was made by the church? Another intercessor that deserves an honorable mention, if you will, we don't even know her name. We just know that she was a Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew 15 and verse 22, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Now, I look at all of these. Abraham, Moses, the Syrophoenician woman, the city of Jerusalem, the church. Each one possess a characteristic of an intercessor. And the base characteristic, the foundational characteristic of someone who is an intercessor, you would say, how do I become an intercessor? How do I get into that world, into that field, into that type of prayer? The foundation of an intercessor is the characteristic of someone. You ready? This is really deep and revelatory. I mean, this is revolutionary. Not really. It's just someone who cares. Someone that is driven by a concern for others. So much so that they will do something about it. Caring enough to do something is, ladies and gentlemen, the foundation of what is required, the foundation of the requirements of being an intercessor. Her story is filled, the Syrophoenician woman is filled with the characteristics and the qualities of an intercessor. Moses' life is filled with the characteristics and the qualities of an intercessor. The church with Peter, qualities and characteristics of an intercessor. There are five of them, if you want to be truthful about it. The foundation, obviously, is someone that cares, but the character, the qualities, I guess you could say, the qualities of an intercessor is first that they are empathetic. They feel what others feel. The sense of helplessness, the hurt, the despair that others face, you've been there. It's empathetic. I think that we could all be spiritually empathetic. I know we could. It's not a thought. It's not a, I think. I know. We all can be spiritually empathetic. However, sometimes we are just spiritually apathetic. The second quality of an intercessor is someone that is prayerful, someone that is full of prayer, someone that doesn't just know how to pray, but they are a person that prays. The qualities of an intercessor is they are tireless. They are relentless. They are like the woman with Solomon in the Old Testament, that she just would not go away. God says intercessors never hold their peace day or night, and they give him no rest, Isaiah 62 and Lamentations 2. That the intercessors never hold their peace day or night, and they never give him a break. He's like, "Dear Lord, would you, okay, I heard you, okay, but we never stop." An intercessor just keeps bringing it back to God. Y'all remember, y'all know what I'm going to say, the pray that prayer again. That's what an intercessor does. The fourth is an intercessor is submitted to a higher cause. The prophet Joel describes such as people who weep between the porch and the altar and are lost in God's presence. Or as Moses told God's people, I stood between you and the Lord. A higher cause than that of myself. There's never been a higher cause than for us to be mindful of the gap that others need someone to stand in. And then the fifth character or quality is that is there's no desire for credit. They're not looking for someone to say, oh, yeah, they did this for me. They're not looking for somebody to pat us on the back. They're not looking for someone to pat them on the back. They are just simply interceding, and they fade into the background. Those who sighed and cried in Jerusalem are not named. It just says that the city was searched for those that were sighing and crying, that those would be saved. The church is in need of intercessors. There's different kinds. There's different types of praying. There's intercessory prayer. There's you know, the prophetic utterances. There is the salvational prayer. There's the repentant prayer. There's numerous kinds, but we need interceders. We need people, men and women of God in the church, that are willing to stand in the gap. Every Tuesday at Calvary Tabernacle, at prayer meeting, the corporate gathering that is beyond the secret place, how do we close our prayer services? Right? That's intercession. That's what that is. We gather in that circle or oval. If it has squiggly lines, is it still considered a circle because there's people that stand? Some standing close and some standing far. Some holding hands and some snarling noses because the teenagers don't want to hold their parents' hands. But we gather together and we what? We intercede for those that we know need God's help. So this morning, I would pose the question, who do you know? Who do you know that you can intercede for? Not sure who to intercede for? I've got some candidates for you. 1 Timothy said to pray for those in authority. Right now, our nation is at a pivotal state. Our world is in a unique dilemma. So pray for those in authority. Romans chapter 9 or chapter 1, he says to pray for God's people. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for me. If you don't have anybody to pray for, my name's Brandon. I need prayer. My wife's name is Miranda. She needs prayer because she's married to Brandon. So pray for God's people. 2 Corinthians 1 and 11. Sounds selfish. Pray for your spiritual leaders. And then Colossians 1 and 9. Pray for all souls to come to know God. There is never a shortage of individuals or groups of people that are in need of prayer. The other old song would say, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. I know intercession is exhausting, but it is a rewarding work. So today I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to identify someone. Before we close this today, before we close this session, this Bible study, this devotion, before we close this episode, I want you to identify someone in your life that needs prayer. And I want you to make sure that you made them a matter of prayer today. Ask God to help you sense what that person is thinking, what they're feeling. Ask God to help you have a little bit of insight so that you can pray for them more effectively. And then pray for them as if their lives depended on it. Are you brave enough to try that today? I hope so. So I would close this morning by simply asking, if we know that we should pray, then why aren't we? If we know that we should intercede, then why aren't we? Just last night or early this morning, I listened to Sweet Pastor Mank. Because of the times, her words just kind of seem to get a little different this morning. She said he is committed. His purpose, his proposal, and his promise to a praying people. There is nothing that prayer can't do. It is the most powerful and potent force on planet Earth. Because through prayer, from any spot on the planet, I can touch three worlds. There is no limit to what prayer can do. It goes through stone walls, past locked doors, and into the innermost being and touches the heart of man. It changes decisions, it bends and unbends things. So again, it's a valid question, y'all. It's a question that they can answer. So let's pray. Let God lay someone on your heart today. Heavenly Father, I love you. I'm thankful for your love and for your mercy. I'm thankful, God, that you've been so gracious to me. You've been better to me than I've ever deserved. God, I'm asking you today that you would help me to be sensitive. Be sensitive to the lives and the hearts around me, to the needs of others around me. I pray, God, that you would lay someone on our heart. Everyone today would feel you tugging on our heart, and that we stop what we're doing and just simply pray for those you have called to mind with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. We ain't saying amen. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I have had a blessed day, and I've got a great day out in front of me. So thank y'all so much. I love y'all. I hope y'all have a great day. And until tomorrow, 7 o'clock, we'll be right back here, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for day 19 of 21 Days of Growth. So until then, be humble, be kind. I love y'all. We'll see y'all tomorrow. God bless you.